10 jaar na mijn reis naar Mekka wil ik de islam in Europa verkennen. Groeit er zoiets als een Europese versie van de islam en is dat ook wat moslims zelf willen? En valt het wantrouwen van de Europeanen jegens de islam te overwinnen? Ik reis van Sarajevo naar Brussel en ga op zoek naar antwoorden. Nergens in Europa is de vrijheid van religie zo absoluut als in Groot-Brittannië. Zolang je niemand kwaad doet, mag je hier geloven, verkondigen en aantrekken wat je wil. Ik ben benieuwd of je dankzij die absolute vrijheid ook scherpere dingen te horen krijgt. En begin mijn verkenningstocht in de East London Mosque, de drukst bezochte moskee van Londen. Sheikh Haitham al-Haddad is een bekende Britse Korangeleerde en een vaste bezoeker van de moskee.
The number is on average 3000 people. That's why I like to pray here, because this gives me more reward.
Yeah. More reward?
Yes. If you pray in a bigger congregation, yes, obviously you will get more reward.
How do I have to imagine this reward? Does it mean that you get sooner to paradise, or in what way a reward?
The reward, of course, in the hereafter. So you will get a bigger reward in the hereafter. You will be given a higher status. You will be given a bigger space. You will be given a better properties in paradise, palaces in paradise, and most importantly, you will be closer to the Prophet, peace be upon him, in your location in paradise, in your address, and hopefully you will be able to see the Lord more often. Wow. Yeah. So once we say better reward, we mean all of these things.
Sheikh Haitham is niet onomstreden. Veel Britten beschouwen hem als een extreme fundamentalist met bedenkelijke ideeën over afvallige moslims, homo's en vrouwen. Een tijd geleden zorgde Sheikh Haitham ook in Nederland voor controverse. Toen hij tijdens een televisiedebat weigerde om met een vrouwelijke gesprekspartner aan tafel te zitten. Ik wil weten of het me lukt om in zijn gedachtenwereld door te dringen. Sheikh Haitham is de voorzitter van een sharia-raad, waarvan er in Groot-Brittannië zo'n 80 actief zijn.
For non-Muslims, it's difficult for them to understand this. Muslims, they want to do things according to what pleases their God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why, you know, we need Sharia councils in the West, because the civil system cannot deal with Islamic matters.
Als voorzitter van de raad doet Sheikh Haitham uitspraken over erfenissen, huwelijken en echtscheidingen. Hij baseert zich daarvoor op de sharia, de islamitische wetgeving. En die wil wel eens verschillen van het burgerlijk recht.
From an Islamic perspective, the divorce can happen verbally. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go to an imam.
And a woman can say, I want to divorce you, and it's a divorce?
No, it's not like this. The man can divorce his wife, okay, verbally. Now, if the wife wants a divorce, this is a serious issue. She has to go through a Muslim court. It is not like the case when the husband divorces his wife.
Why this difference?
Because, see, from an Islamic perspective, mm-hmm. Islam acknowledges the differences between men and women. Yes?
And what could be the rationale behind the rule that a man can divorce just verbally and a woman cannot?
Yeah, because, see, now women, we all agree that they become pregnant and they become, okay, they observe their menses. Obviously, men, they do not become pregnant and they do not observe menses. Mm-hmm. Now, with pregnancy and during menses, women go through certain psychological changes, okay, and certain physical needs as well.
You mean like men think more clearly?
No, it doesn't mean that, okay? It doesn't mean that, okay? Everyone is intelligent,
mm-hmm.
yeah? But everyone is intelligent in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You, as a Westerner, you are a bit sensitive regarding any differentiation between or any distinction between the two genders, yeah? You should not be that sensitive.
Ik zet mijn gevoeligheden opzij en vergezel de Sheikh naar Woolwich, een Londense buitenwijk waar hij straks een preek zal geven.
You know the Sheikh?
Yes, I know from the TV channel.
Okay.
Let me say something that is very important for you personally. Yeah? In Islam, you can't change the way you want. Even the biggest scholar in Islam, he cannot change Islam as he wants.
Yeah. You cannot modernize Islam?
You cannot innovate Islam. Now, once you say modernized, what does it mean?
Made compatible with these times, with okay. today's needs.
Excellent. So let us say that we modernized them, yeah, mm-hmm. between brackets, yeah, between quotes, to fit this time,
uh-huh.
yeah, the beginning of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 years' time, they will be obsolete.
Discussiëren met Sheikh Haitham voelt een beetje als een spelletje balletje balletje. Je begint er iedere keer opnieuw met goede moed aan. Maar winnen doe je nooit. Voor hij aan zijn preek in de moskee begint, wil Sheikh Haitham controleren wat het islamitisch boekstalletje op straat aanbiedt.
So these are... Where is the brother?
I'm selling it.
You are selling it?
Yeah.
Huh? Can I have a word with you? تعالي الله يهديك. So double check.
Something about the book?
Yeah, it's not the right book to be.
Not the right book to read?
To be read, yes.
What? Why? What's in it?
I ask her. Okay, do you know what is there? And she said no.
Uh huh.
I said, how come you sell a book you don't know the content?
Uh huh.
She said, I assume that it is the right book.
Yeah. Are there a lot of wrong books around?
Oh, of course. Of course. Everywhere there are some wrong books. Everywhere. Everywhere.
What is going too far for you? When do you get suspicious?
If it is a book by ISIS or Al-Qaeda, is it good to sell?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's not good to sell. Yeah? Especially if it is sold by the mosque or sold by people of authority or... Yeah?
Is this the problem that many people would put you in the same bag as the books that you are suspicious of?
Same. It is, called guilt by association. The reality now is the world is like this. La.
In de moskee van Woolwich is Sheikh Haitham een vaste en graag geziene gast. Ik zoek een plekje tussen de gelovigen en zet me schrap voor wat hij vandaag voor ons in petto heeft.
All people speak about justice. The world speaks about justice. However, what is unique for Islam, a value that not many people talk about, it is a unique value for Islam and Muslims, which is what? Mercy. Rahmah. Your children, show them mercy. Let them have this as a value. When you become old, they will show you mercy. Life will be so lovely if there is a mercy inside your house. Show your wife mercy. You come back home. Maybe the food is late. Maybe this and that and this and that. Don't say to her, I don't know what have you been doing for the entire day. You will have mercy for her.
What struck me during the sermon, you were talking about mercy and the importance of mercy. It was almost like replace that by love and you have the Christian message. Yeah.
No. It is not like this, okay? Mercy is wider than love, mm-hmm. Yeah? That's why from an Islamic perspective, love is not the issue. The issue is showing love. If my wife loves me or I love her, but we don't show the love, mm-hmm. Yeah, then it doesn't work. On the flip side, if, for example, I don't like my wife, she doesn't like me. Shall I, day and every day in the morning and the night, shall I tell her, I don't love you, I don't love you. Darling, you know that I don't love you. And she says to me, yeah, you know that I'm just living with you like this, I don't love you. What will that work?
I don't think so.
It won't work. Yeah? So what do I need to do? I need to show her love, although maybe internally I don't love her.
Where's truthfulness in this?
Yeah.
And honesty.
Excellent. See, one of the key differences between Islam and Christianity, Christianity tried to be an idealistic religion. Islam is a realistic way of life rather than idealistic thoughts that are running around and they cannot be put into practice.
You got me sold for 95%. But I need to ask you this question.
Okay, no problem, go on.
In the Quran, there's a number of rules that cannot be changed.
Yes.
Yes. Where is the rule on the punishment for apostasy in that respect?
See. Which is death.
See.
Keep it clear on that.
Yeah, let me keep it clear. See, there are certain things, yeah, that you won't be able to understand them unless you accept Islam, unless you study Islam comprehensively, unless you look at the bigger picture. This is nothing that is practiced every day and people are just punished here and there and people are... No, it is not like this. And those issues are just minor rules, okay? They are not the essence of Islam.
No, but I think they are the essence of what causes so much fears and mistrust with so many people. If I were to convert or to embrace Islam,
yeah,
what would happen the day that I say, you know, I've changed my mind, I want to leave Islam again?
Yeah. See, this is a very, very hypothetical question, because if you accept Islam wholeheartedly, it is very, very, very unlikely that you will just come at one point and say, well, I changed my mind.
It's hypothetical, but it's a clear question.
Yeah, but a clear question, it doesn't mean that it does exist. Young, accept Islam, enjoy the Islam, and once you want to leave it, we will discuss it, yeah?
That's like taking a big chance.
Yeah. Spot me. Do this and yeah?
But what, yeah. Is it so hard to answer?
Not so hard, but it is so hard for you to understand it.
But what's the answer?
Yeah, it is hard for you to understand it. It is hard for the viewers to understand it.
But
come on, Ian, come on. Give up. Just say, I gave up. Just say, I gave up.
Sheikh Haitham al-Haddad leeft in een wereld met andere waarden en waarheden dan de mijne. En daar is op zich niks mis mee. Het was boeiend om die wereld te leren kennen. Het achterste van zijn tong wil hij me niet laten zien. Ik denk ook niet dat ik daar veel vrolijker van zou worden. In Engeland is het vrije woord heilig. En dat principe wordt door niemand zo naar waarde geschat als door de Britse moslims.
Britain is one of the few places, I would say, in the world where to practice the Muslim faith, it's a blessing, I would say. I love London and I love Britain and I love the UK. We're able to come out and engage in conversations. If you look at the back of my shirt,
I'm Muslim and I follow Jesus. Ask me why.
We as Muslims, we also believe in Jesus, right? He's mentioned 25 times in the Quran. There's a chapter that's called Mary, the Blessed Mother of Jesus. We believe in one God. We believe in Jesus. We believe in Moses. So we want to unite people, you know, at a time where there is so much confusion in the world. And we want to just share the spiritual message. Hi there, guys. How are you doing today? We're handing out flyers about Jesus.
Voor moslims was Jezus een verdienstelijke profeet, maar ook niet meer dan dat. De enige ware goddelijke boodschap staat in de Koran. En die krijgen voorbijgangers gratis aangeboden.
This translation is the most widespread translation in the world. This is the one which is printed in, I believe it's Saudi Arabia. And it's pretty much accepted amongst Shias, Muslims, it's just generally accepted everywhere.
But what, if I say Islam, what does it images or what ideas or what does it bring about to you?
That's a really good question.
It's very
that's really big.
Up till very recently, it meant nothing at all. But it's because of all TV coverage. Of,
yeah.
And actually, as a thinking person, I don't believe half of what I see. Because bad happens in all religions.
I think the worry, and I'm speaking as a pleb, as an ordinary Englishman who has been brought up Christian, the biggest worry is that in the Quran there's some passages there that say you must kill unbelievers.
There's certain passages of the Quran which are taken out of context. And
always.
And the best way for you to understand that is for you to have your own copy. The book can't lie to you, and you see things within context.
Can I ask you one more really difficult question?
I hope I can answer it.
I hope you can, and I want to put this. I believe in absolute equality for all human beings. Male, female.
Children, everything.
Children, people who are gay, people who are transgender. Where does true Islam stand on that? Does that make sense? And I know that's a difficult one.
Equality. Now, I can only answer the question in a surface level, because anything beyond that is something which gets a bit technical and you need someone with more knowledge to actually speak on the topic. We as Muslims fundamentally believe that all human beings have the ability to have forgiveness, to have salvation, to have access to God. But as Islam teaches, there are certain things in Islam which are not in line with, say, what is taught in secular societies today. We say exactly like it says in the Judeo-Christian tradition that homosexuality is a sin.
But I've got gay friends. I've got gay friends.
Yeah.
And Christianity.
Your son is gay?
Our son is gay.
Okay.
But
one of our sons is gay.
Wonderful man. He just fell in love with another man.
He's read the Quran.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Front to back.
Yeah, to me, he's a very good man. And the fact that the love he's got is for another man, as long as it's love, I'm not bothered. It's not hate or fighting or... Because I believe in love and kindness between me and you. Everybody, me and you. We've all got to be nice to each other.
Wow, that's been really good. Thank you very much.
This is the gift hour that you're talking about.
Thank you very much.
It was.
To speak to you and to try and understand you more.
Yes. I'd like to know more.
It was nice meeting you. Nice talking to you.
Are you
Belgian?
You're Belgian? Are you Islam, Christian? What's your religion?
I was brought up Catholic and I'm a secular...
You don't know what you are now.
I think I'm secular.
Yeah.
And yet I love the idea.
Yeah.
I love the idea of love and giving and equality and caring.
Well, I just totally believe in Jesus. I always say, if he won't do it, I won't do it. And he wouldn't
do
anything cruel or horrible, would he?
Thank you.
In Groot-Brittannië is niet alleen het woord vrij. Moslims mogen hier ook zonder enige belemmering hun rituelen beoefenen. Ik heb een afspraak in een islamitische begrafenisonderneming, vlak naast de East London Mosque.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? Hello, my name's
Jan.
Hello, hello.
Nice
please
to
come
meet
and
you.
Take a seat.
So, how's the day?
Today is a very busy day. Yesterday we had 3 and today we have 5.
Because they have to be buried within...
Well, the idea is to do it as quickly as possible. Uh-huh. And that's only because back in the day of the Prophet, peace be upon him, there uh-huh. was no refrigeration system. Uh-huh. So, and being in a desert, it made sense when someone passed away to dispose of them and bury them quickly to stop the decomposition, the smells and all those kinds of things. And so that's why it's done. And so Muslims, we like to do things the way that the Prophet did it. Like 1400 years ago. We're a bit old fashioned like that.
Can I ask, who did you lose?
My grandma. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, thank you, appreciate that. Yeah. I was trying to arrange it because she passed over the bank holiday. Uh-huh. And I was calling up other directors and so forth, and they weren't as helpful. So, yeah, I can't, honestly, I can't please you guys enough.
Thank you so much. Honestly, thank you, brother. That's very kind of you. Thank you. That's nice to hear. That's made my day.
No problem. Habiba erfde de zaak van haar vader en is al van jongs af met het begrafeniswezen vertrouwd.
Sister, can you shut that door, please? Sorry, because these are our 2 washrooms.
Uh-huh.
And there's washings going in there at the moment.
Okay.
So we won't hang around here too long, but they're doing washings in there with family. Once they come out of here, then they'll be placed into one of our viewing rooms. So we've got both of these are in use at the moment.
Uh-huh.
We have a little tiny staff room here. Sorry, Nora. And that's where we just do like a lot of washing of towels and bits and pieces and stuff like that and make a cup of tea, but that's a bit of a mess. That's his domain. No, oh, okay. Because that door will lock behind you, so. Can you see that white curtain?
Yeah.
Behind that white curtain is where all the coffins go. So this will be full soon.
I know him.
Mm. Our future monarch, maybe, if the Queen ever gives it up. I mean, he's a good guy. He has been here a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to religion and diversity and that, I mean, he's great for that.
What's going on now with Islam and around mm-hmm. Islam, can it bring you down emotionally yourself?
Yes. Every time something happens around the world, whether it be in Nice or in the German Christmas market and stuff like that, and the first things out of my mind is, please don't let it be a Muslim. Please, please don't let it be something associated with Islam, please, because it affects all of us. We're going to have a lot of anti-Islamic rhetoric. We're going to have the immigration brought up. We're going to be bringing up the wars. Everything gets brought up all at the same time. Every time something like this happens, it all comes back up. The war in Iraq, this, that, America, foreign policy, Israel, Palestine. It all gets brought up, and I'm fed up of it.
Vandaag worden een jongen van 15 en een vrouw van 86 begraven.
Brother, there's a camera here. So if you don't want to be filmed, stay in the lift, okay?
This one, ma'am. This one first.
Okay, this is the lady. So the lady goes up here. Men go first, and then we put the ladies. Okay.
Men go first?
Goes men first, then ladies behind men. So now we'll go
upstairs.
So it's
not ladies first?
Not in this case, I'm afraid. No, men first. But it's all right. We're okay with that.
Donar Pita Shahriyar Ahmad Ahmadir Kasetar Cherejuna Dordor Kastukurachan.
Allahu Akbar.
Voor het vertrek naar de begraafplaats brengen familie en vrienden de overledene een laatste groet. Voor Habiba is dit het enige moment van de dag waarop ze even op adem kan komen.
We have been blessed. This country has given us so much. We have mosques. We can get halal food here. We can pretty much wear what we want. I also have the freedom of choice to take this all off and run down the street in a bikini if I wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't have that, those freedoms in Saudi Arabia. Oh, she didn't want to be filmed. See, some people are really funny about it. If someone wants to walk around like that, that's up to them. But it, for me, it is definitely not a religious article. And the reason I say that is, when you go to Saudi Arabia and you're performing Hajj or pilgrimage around the Kaaba, you're not allowed to do it with your face covered. It's not accepted. So if it's not allowed in Makkah, don't tell me that it's a religious article that should be worn around on the streets. Don't agree with it. And I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone. That's just my personal opinion. The reason why we cover up and dress modestly is so that we don't attract the attention of men or women or anyone like that. That's the idea behind it. But unfortunately, if you're going to wear that in this kind of Western society, the first thing that happens, and I do it all the time, is I see someone walking down the street and I go, and I look straight at them. Everyone's attention is diverted to you. You are doing the polar opposite of what God asks you to do. Brothers, please come and help. Of course you can, Bismillah, of course you can. When we lift, we don't hold the handles. You hold from underneath. Uncle, come round.
Want me to give a hand?
Yes. I don't have a problem. It's not the handles, underneath, the hands, underneath. Ready, one, two, three, I'll take the trolley. Okay. Thank you. Okay, brothers, if you're making your way to the cemetery, jump in your cars. All the number plates have Taz on it, so if you see a hearse with Taz, you're following the right one. Meet at the cemetery, and when everyone's ready, we'll start the janaza.
We volgen de lijkwagen met het stoffelijk overschot van de oude vrouw naar een islamitische begraafplaats aan de rand van de stad.
As a Muslim, we believe that this is not the end of the journey. Allah has created us from the earth, and we go back to earth, and we'll be resurrected from the earth. We believe when we pass away, the angel will come and be asking, who is your Lord? How did you spend your life? And did you follow the commandments of Allah who created you? And after that, you'll be sleeping peacefully.
Allahu Samad. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ذنيا وذنيا ذات كل غطاء وإزي ستا مولا تمام كل عرب رشان من دي أمر التوبة قل لم أمر التوبة لك كل غرب الله الله أكبر بلدي الله Allah, I'm not going to be able to do this. Allah. Allah.
Sanderendaags laten we Londen achter ons en trekken we naar het noorden van Engeland. Naar het gebied waar ooit de industriële revolutie begon. We houden halt in de voormalige textielstad Dewsbury. Veel kleiner dan Londen, maar even divers en gekleurd. Aan de rand van Dewsbury ligt een wijk waar vrijwel uitsluitend Deobandis wonen. Leden van een uiterst conservatieve stroming binnen de islam.
You see how clean it is and how peaceful it is? Now just think if we had this sort of peacefulness throughout England. You don't even see a smashed bottle on the floor.
Mohamed Pandor is een gepensioneerd ingenieur en een leidende figuur binnen de Deobandi-gemeenschap. Hij trekt geregeld de straat op om de jongeren van de wijk op het rechte pad te houden.
The main aim is not to convert people, but those who are Muslim, particularly youth who are going astray, to try and bring them back to proper Islam. Because a lot of the youth nowadays, like youth anywhere, they're into drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. So we make sure that they're aware that they shouldn't be doing this and they should be remembering God and stuff like that. Who are you? I'm Anadorku.
Yeah, my cousin.
Your cousin? No?
Uwais.
Uwais, are you studying?
No.
What do you do?
I'm just going to teach now.
Where?
Masjid Umar.
Mashallah.
And what do you teach?
I'm just teaching the holy book, the Quran.
Uh-huh.
And some hadith, the sayings of the prophets.
And to young boys?
Young kids, yeah. 9, 10 years old, Monday to Friday.
Every day, Monday to Friday?
Wow. From what time? From 5 o'clock?
5 till 7:30.
5 till 7:30.
So that's after regular school?
Yeah.
Wow. And that's typical of Muslims in UK, that they will go to the school in the morning, and in the evening they will go to these supplementary schools.
That's a heavy schedule.
It's a very heavy schedule. So did I. Even Saturdays and Sundays.
Isn't it strange never to be able to recognize a female person?
I don't think it's very strange at all. You might not feel comfortable. You can't see her. I can't see her either. So it's not just the niqab, it's not just from you, it's from me as well. Yeah. You know when Columbus went to America, the natives were all naked and the Europeans gave them clothes to wear. Now what's happening is the Europeans are taking their clothes off and we've got clothes on. So humanity for the Western culture is moving backwards, but we're still on the same path. I rest my case. Come on. Come on, guys.
Can you recognize her?
Not by the hours, by the way they talk and the shout, the sound.
Okay.
You know, like you're talking to me, and if you start wearing niqab, I can recognize your voice. That's how it is. I just can't tell from the eyes. I don't want to look into the eyes.
I read there are scholars who say that even the voice of the woman cannot be heard by a strange man.
We respect that opinion, but if that is the case, then how would a woman do her own shopping?
So she can?
Of course she can speak. Because that if you wanted to ask a question of the Prophet, then you should ask from behind your veils. So asking question and learning is part of deen, part of Islam. So they have to ask questions. Come on guys, don't worry.
Net voor sluitingstijd maak ik kennis met een van de laatste niet-islamitische bewoners van de wijk.
I've dealt with Asians since I was 21 years old, and I'm now 57. And I've never, ever had any problems whatsoever, seriously.
So where do you live?
Well, five minutes from here.
5 minutes from here?
Yeah, 5 minutes from here. I mean, they're always asking me, Tim, turn Muslim, Tim. Just say, or pray to Allah, pray to God, and say, right, are you in my presence? Lead me in the right path, of, you know, in the right way of life or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So what's holding you?
My wife. That's all I'm going to say at the moment. Thank you very much.
Volgende ochtend neemt Mohammed Pandor me mee naar een industrieterrein waar zijn zoon Adam een beddenfabriekje runt.
Belgium TV here.
Hello, my name is Jan.
How are you doing?
These are the springs that are used within the mattresses.
Yeah.
Then coming round again, raw materials. These are the pads that go onto the mattress.
This gentleman is actually putting the insulation pad onto the mattress. And it gives you a bit of comfort because you don't really want to sleep on some springs. You want it as comfortable as possible.
Mohamed Pandor komt hier niet vaak. En het geluid van Nietzsche's pistolen maakt de ingenieur in hem opnieuw wakker.
Possibly you could save material by actually having these. I don't know how much of this could be even if you save 1 inch.
An inch over so many rolls.
Over so many rolls can add up. It's actually a duty of a Muslim to look at those things and say, where can you save resources? Because resources are finite. And this is Sharia, to not waste resources. This is Sharia. Because God will question you, why did you use that? You could have used 1 inch less material. This is Sharia. Sharia also teaches you how to sleep.
Really?
Really, yes. How do you sleep, Adam?
So I've been taught to sleep on my side. There's a couple.
Come on, show them, show them.
I don't want to put my shoes in the bed. So sleep on my side. This is how I've been taught. Correct me if I'm wrong. One hand on my side and one hand underneath my head.
This is the sunnah way of sleeping. This is this. Sharia, okay. This is how the Prophet Muhammad slept.
This is the Islamic way.
This is now the heart of a human being is here, yeah?
Yeah.
Now it gets relaxed.
Okay.
And the Prophet he said, sleep like a slave. You have been humble.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not like that. Sleep humble. Show your humbleness.
I think there's a lot of things in Sharia that people would have no problem, you know, complying with.
I think there is the whole Sharia has no problem in compliance. It's actually how you interpret it.
How about, and I have to bring this up, how about where Sharia talks about the punishment for apostasy?
If you had a fully functioning Islamic state, apostasy would be like if you did something against the government, because the law within the country is an Islamic law. But apostasy and killing somebody would never be entertained, or we would never advocate that in a European country, because Islamic law doesn't apply here.
But in your ideal Islamic state, would there be a punishment for leaving the religion?
Within an Islamic state, he would be given ample chance to withdraw his statements and to come back to his religion.
And if he doesn't want to?
If he doesn't want to, then the Islamic law would apply to him.
And he would be punished?
He would be punished. Like he would be punished in any other non-Muslim state, if the punishment would be death, then he would be put to death. We see religion as the same as America would see murdering in their own state. So because religion is so close to us, so we see that the same. We see that the same. The Western people like yourself don't see it the same, but we see it the same.
That's a big divide.
That's the divide that we have to live with.
Het is niet de eerste keer op deze reis dat ik versteld sta van het contrast tussen het gezellige karakter van mijn gesprekspartner en de onverbiddelijkheid van zijn opvattingen.
Some of your politicians, some of your religious leaders from all over Europe need to come and visit us. If they all came and lived in Britain and experienced Dewsbury, that would be a good start. So what do you think? What do you think? I'm interviewing now, you now is here. What's your impression of what you see?
I'll tell you honest, can you get into it that women in niqab come across as frightening to European people?
The Western psyche seems to be hung up on faces. Faces, faces.
I cannot see whether she is smiling or looking sad, or I can't see any expression. So how can I communicate?
That is what they want to, that is what they want to practice. And who are we to say, don't do that? They have the freedom to do that. If we accept freedom, then we can't accept freedom in a limited sense. It has to be freedom as the way they want to live. Yeah, as you can see, there's so many.
How are you?
Kulsum.
Yeah.
Oh, how are you?
How are you?
This is my niece, by the way. This is my niece.
Okay.
I've got some friends from Belgium TV how peacefully live in this, how peacefully we live in this country.
All right. Yeah.
So yeah.
You live in Dewsbury?
I live in Dewsbury. Yeah, I live in Dewsbury.
Born and raised.
Yeah.
If I would ask you, like, what's keeping you from showing me your face, what would your answer be?
It's basically, we're here to make God happy, and that's my sole purpose, that's my main purpose. And if by keeping myself from not being seen by strange men, it's going to keep God happy.
But suppose we're neighbours for, like, already 10, 15 years, would I then be permitted to see your face?
Well, if we're married, yes, of course. But otherwise, no, because I feel like there's no need. I mean, I show it to the women.
Like,
yeah, of course.
Are you married?
I would. Actually, I was.
You were?
Yeah, and it was kind of a love marriage as well. And
Don't go into too much detail.
It was basically, he was not my type.
So you got divorced?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm glad I did. I'm just, you learn from your mistakes. I'm the kind of person who has to make the mistakes first. So, yeah. I've got to go back to work.
Okay.
I came to pick up a burger or something right now, so...
I was gonna present my hand.
Well,
I used to, but now I just don't. Like before, when somebody used to give me the hand, it just seemed really impolite not to. But then, as I've grown, I just felt like if you don't want to shake somebody's hand, you don't have to. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's
good. Good, eh?
Okay.
Thank you.
And keep it all nice, yeah. I know what media people are like.
Veel Europeanen zijn bang van radicale meningen en zouden die nog het liefst verboden zien. Hier in Groot-Brittannië is de vrijheid van denken en spreken het hoogste goed en neemt niemand een blad voor de mond. Wat je te horen krijgt klinkt niet altijd even aangenaam, maar je weet tenminste waar je gesprekspartner staat. En soms is dat aan de andere kant van een diepe kloof. Volgende week trek ik naar Zweden, waar Syrische vluchtelingen nieuwe geplogenheden introduceren.
He have two women.
He's married to two women.
Well, the Joe was a nobody, perfect.
I get married the third.
Van Zweden trek ik naar Denemarken, waar de schok van de Mohammed-cartoons nog altijd nazindert.
You will never see a Muslim making a laugh of any religion at all. We won't offend anyone and we expect not to be offended.